The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
The Avalanche and what's going on here in Denver, especially with Darcy Kuemper. Also, John Cooper retracted what he initially said, so we'll dig into those details. In terms of football, Troy Rank confirmed that the first day of training camp is July 26th, or they open up. Everybody comes in 26th. Training camp starts on the 27th. The biggest stories besides Russell Wilson going into training camp, James, will be what?
Who's going to be the starting running back? Right? Like, when we go out there for the first practice on July 27th, they line up. What are we looking at? We're looking at who's in the backfield behind Russell Wilson. Is it Melvin Gordon or is it Javonte Williams? I think that's a story. That's a day one story. I think as time goes on, I think tight end is going to be interesting. Is it Dulcich? Is it Albert O? I think, does Courtland Sutton look like Courtland Sutton? Does Jerry Jeudy find a way to finally blossom? I think there's some interesting stories at receiver. And then I think on the other side of the ball, I think inside linebacker is the major question. I feel like we've been talking about it my entire lifetime, but it's been like 6-7 years, really, since Danny Trevathan went to Chicago. What are they going to do about that position? And they just ignore it. They don't draft anybody. They don't sign a free agent. They just kind of try and patch it together, and it looks like it's going to be what, Josie Jewell and Jonas Griffith? Okay, I mean, maybe it'll work, but I do think that's a story to watch. So for me, those are the things heading into training camp that I'm going to be watching during practices, during preseason games, and wondering, hey, September 12th when they go to Seattle, what is this going to look like?
How important is inside linebacker in today's NFL, do you think? I'm struggling on that. You know what they're telling us, by the way? It's not that important.
They're telling us they don't think it's very important.
No, that's right.
And I guess I can see where they're coming from when it's a much more of a pass-happy league, right? You don't have your Zach Thomases of the world who are just in there to stuff the run. Could Al Wilson play and thrive in today's NFL? I mean, he played in the early 2000s.
I don't think so. I think he'd get lost in the wash.
And maybe. But you still have to have somebody who can play that spot, right? Like, fine, maybe it's getting a little bit, it's not quite like basketball, but everybody talks about it's positionless basketball, right? You still, you don't have a true, the difference between a 2 and a 3 and those kind of things are they're getting blurry. But you still have to have 11 guys out there. So who are the 11 guys that are going to be on the field then for this defense? I do think this defense is going to be better than they were a year ago. And people who think Vic Fangio was some sort of defensive wizard will find that hard to believe. But I think Yedro Evero is going to bring a style and an attitude that was so desperately missing, where it's, hey, we're flying around, we're trying to cause things to happen, and if we give up a big player or two, it's all right, we got Russ, he's going to go get it back. It's going to be more like Greg Robinson did in the late 90s with this team than what we saw the last 3 years where it was death by paper cut.
Thanks to our listeners in Broomfield for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. I had a memory of a ghost from Christmas past last night at the Lightning Avs game. They put on, by the way, Hootie is a Bolts fan. So all you Darius Rucker fans out there, keep that in mind when you want to spend money on Darius Rucker. He's a Bolts fan. So is Charles Barkley. He was holding up Bolt signs, and I guess he must live down there or something.
So is Dick Vitale.
Well, that's okay. That's all right. I got no problems with that. He's been a Tampa wonk forever.
I don't have any problem with any of them.
Shaquille Barrett.
Well, he was there.
There, holding up Bolt sign, wearing Lightning gear.
Hey, he's a Buck. They had him here. They had their chance.
And that's where I was going. It's kind of the ghost of Christmas past.
Yeah.
Like when I saw Shaquille Barrett, CSU Ram, proud to be a Sunder. And there he is. And it was like, wow. Man, that kind of stung a little bit because I was thinking he was here. he's a great player. He's a Super Bowl champion.
They don't.
Why is he not here still?
They don't have a lot of guys that fall into the one that got away category, right? Mm-hmm. Like Danny Trevathan went to Chicago, and they've had a hard time replacing him. Malik Jackson went to Jacksonville, and he was a really good player here, but he also benefited from the fact that he played on a defensive line or front seven that included Vaughn and DeMarcus and Derek Wolfe, and, you know, he was a much better player here than he was elsewhere. They've got some guys you wish were still here, but how many of them went elsewhere and became stars?
Shaq Barrett
is at the top of the list. I mean, who else is in that category? Eric Decker had a nice career elsewhere. Knowshon didn't do anything anywhere else. I wish he would have stayed here. I like Knowshon Moreno a lot, but he didn't go become a 1,500-yard rusher somewhere.
Isaiah McKenzie.
Okay. He's doing more in Buffalo than he did here because he did a negative here. It wasn't he did nothing here. All he did was go fumble punch.
I got one for you. Josh Allen. Quarterback.
Well, he was never here.
He wasn't here.
Should have been here.
He was. I forgot he wasn't here.
The every time I go to Laramie and you go into the brown and gold and there's this picture up there, I'm like, if John had just made the trip, it's not that far of a drive.
Can't he just
helicopter? Josh Allen. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. John could have taken a helicopter too, couldn't he?
Something. I mean, but it literally is like a. Well, I'm up in Broomfield and Erie and all the people we've been thanking today. That's my neck of the woods. It's like a 2.5-hour drive from my house. You could have gone up there. He was right there.
Johnny and Cecil drove up there.
And is there a...
How about the fact there were more people from the fan there than from the Denver Broncos there?
And has there been a quarterback that has come out in the last 20 years? You know what? Let's just do since John's had the job. In the last dozen years. That is... More like John Elway than Josh Allen.
It's remarkable, James. It's so confounding. And you know what? John doesn't have nothing to do with nothing now, so perhaps it just stings just a tad every now and then, and certainly everybody's happy that it's Russell Wilson. But it's like when I got fired from KBPI for no reason, by the way. They have a bunch of other stations. I could have done something else. And then I ended up commuting for 5 years. And after working 5 years commuting to Colorado Springs and then coming back through the back door through talk radio and eventually doing weekends on the Fan and finally establishing myself full time, you know, it took about a 8-year period. People would come up to me and go, well, it all worked out.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yeah.
It was painful along the way.
I would have liked to think it could have all worked out without having to make an... You know, going through all that, right? Like, I would like to have thought, things could have worked out for the Broncos without, you know, missing the playoffs for 6 straight years, just the Broncos and the Jets.
Well, here's the other thing, and I am super excited about Russell Wilson being here. I think George Payton deserves a ton of credit for pulling it off, and this year is going to be fun. And, I see that NFL.com is picking him to go 13-4, and I don't think that's crazy talk. But would the Broncos be better off right now with Josh Allen or Russell Wilson? Josh Allen. And Russell Wilson could play here 10 years. And it's still
I'll give you the trickier one. Would they be better off in getting Russell Wilson when he was drafted or Peyton Manning as a free agent?
Peyton Manning. Look, there's the best 4-year stretch in the history of the organization.
All right.
So that's a...
Even though Russell Wilson's still playing today and on...
Yeah. Because part of that is a third-round pick... If you don't go somewhere where Pete Carroll has the you-know-whats to put him in there ahead of Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson may not ever turn.
Russell Wilson had to beat out Tim Tebow. He would have done it in a half hour. Mm. Trust me, it would have happened.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I'm telling you, really? Man, situation and circumstances is bigger than you. It is more important than people think.
I got a funny story about a rental car in the Denver 7 News sports team. It's comical. And the redemption of Darcy Kemper all makes sense together. That's next.
Reacting to Naz's OT winner that puts Colorado one win away from the cup. Here's the drive with Tyler Palumbus and Tina.
To break down the garden gate. There's not much time left today.
What I'm talking about. Let it ride.
Highway, I want to ride it all night long.
We got the redemption of Darcy Kuemper here in just one second, but let me spin a yarn for you, James Marilat, and for Tyler Palavis. So there were a lot of Denver media muggles in Tampa, not like the Mighty Seven in Edmonton.
Yes.
No, there were a ton of people down there. It was great to see everybody, and you run into each other, and we're all pals, and you work together. And Denver 7 in particular had the most. They carried the game, so boy, they had, man, they were well represented down there. Good for Denver 7. And I was in the media hotel, and, you know, there were quite a few people that were on that early morning flight, Southwest 5:30 here, meaning the game's over at midnight. You get home around 12:30. You got a couple hours, and then you got to get to the old Tampa airport to get back. I woke up at 1:30 this morning. The day continues. 24 hours is a long time if you really maximize it, James.
Yeah.
It's a lot you can do.
You squeezed a lot into it. Now, it was your birthday, though, so you kind of wanted to get all 24 hours.
Yesterday, and technically I was on East Coast time, so when my kid calls me at 10 o'clock Californian time, but it's 1 o'clock, he missed my birthday. To him, he didn't. Well,
yeah, he missed it.
Right. Anyway, we're leaving, and Jeff Howe and Nick Rothschild from Denver 7, two great guys. Nick does push-ups. They say, hey, do you want to just catch a ride with us? And I'm like, hey, that's very generous. We're going at the same time. Save a couple bucks on the Uber. They got a car. Okay. Come out of the car, out of the hotel. Their rental car was a 2006 Dodge Challenger, blue, two-door muscle car.
Okay. At $5 a gallon.
It was the most ridiculous car I've ever seen for media people to rent in my entire life. They've got equipment, TV stuff, and they wanted to look cool. I asked him, which one of you guys is single? And to no surprise, Jeff is, they said that they missed the morning skate to go to the beach. And I go, well, that's good use of the car.
Yeah.
The car's used to drive to the airport and back, essentially. And they do have TV gear, so they need it. When you rent a muscle car, what are you trying to say to the world when you go on vacation and you rent a muscle car?
I'm here to party. That's the message. Yeah. I mean, I don't know that there is another message.
So follow my Twitter and you can see a picture of the muscle car. Nick Rothschild took a very, you know, I do push-up sort of pose by the muscle car.
2006, though?
That's what they said. It was cool. No, it was the coolest rental car I've ever been in my life. Maybe it was 2016.
Whatever.
I don't know. It looked brand new to me, and I know squadouche about cars. Other than the fact, the most pathetic part of this entire story is that I actually did fit into the back seat.
It's like the kind of car they're, you know, doing donuts in a Walmart parking lot at 2 a.m. That kind of car.
It's the type of car that screams, what's up, ladies?
Yeah. Was it a convertible?
No.
That's the only thing they missed. I mean, you're in Florida.
Darcy Kuemper said he had a chat with Jared Bednar that really sealed the deal.
We had a good talk yesterday, and he just said there's no doubt that I was going back in there and just wanted me to go out there and play and be loose and play my game, and that's what I try to do, and I know the guys have my back, and yeah, I just wanted to go out and play like I can, and you know, we were able to get the win tonight.
What kind of
this
game?
This isn't about ego, it's about winning.
What kind of game did Darcy Kuemper have?
Fantastic. He allowed one bad goal, and it was a bad one. It was soft. But other than that, he was great. And to do it on that stage, coming off the game in which he got yanked in the second period, it was this clutch of it's in the conversation of probably the 10 most clutch performances in the history of Colorado sports. It's up there.
And with that in mind, in Game 5 tomorrow, there's some important things you need to know. I'll kill you with truth next.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth.
Tell the truth.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here on The Drive.
The truth is the Avalanche should not have won that game last night.
I'm your candy.
They were dominated in the first period. The crowd was going crazy. Vasilevskiy was playing like the greatest goaltender in the world. A puck went off Nathan MacKinnon's skate that he barely saw, and Andrew Cogliano's shin guard via Nico Sturm. What? Never mind the fact a dude with a broken thumb was able to push the puck past two other dudes and beat Vasilevskiy through the armpit. The truth is the Avs should have lost that game. It's one of the few games all year where the shots on goal were slanted more towards the opponent than for the Avalanche. Darcy Kemper is not a great goaltender. We all think there's something still going on with his eyeball. But the truth is, there's a system of doing things that championship teams establish and stick to. And the truth is, Jared Bednar is an exceptional head coach. And Joe Sakic is the perfect temper for being a general manager to allow Jared Bednar to do what he does. And the truth is, the conversation perhaps of this entire playoffs was Jared Bednar getting together with Darcy Kemper the day before the game and reassuring him, our confidence is with you when we just pulled you the day before. And that takes a certain amount of commitment in coaching, a certain foresight in philosophy, and determination to stick with what we're doing instead of Coach Fangio freaking out and practicing harder, as Von Miller revealed. We were doing things we hadn't been doing all year. Guess what? Despite the adversity they faced in Game 3, the Avalanche changed nothing. We are the storm. They are the one who knocks. They are the danger. And that truth about this team, through whatever criticism may come from the muggles that present ourselves as smarter than the real hockey guys, we all need to take a step back at this moment and realize what we have is a great team with a great coach, a mediocre goaltender that was raised to a new level because those around him raised him up. And with a heroic final performance of a moment of cadre, the person that stands on top of Olympia is Darcy Kemper, because he was raised there by Jared Bednar. And that's the truth. That might be the most optimistic I kill you with truth I've ever had in my life, but
Wait a minute. So you're proclaiming Jared Bednar as a great coach because he did nothing.
Is developing a philosophy that you believe in and sticking to it doing nothing, or is sticking to it really establishing belief in what you're doing and you're constantly doing something?
Okay. Boy, it's a deep philosophical conversation here, but
everything, hold on, James. Everything with sports and winning is deep philosophical, period. And teams that aren't deep and philosophical lose. They lose because they have no philosophy on how they're doing anything.
No, and I do think he deserves credit for sticking with the plan and believing in their system and not panicking. And there were opportunities to do that, right? After game two against St. Louis, they could have done that. When you blow game five here against St. Louis, you could have panicked. And I thought Jared Bednar's kind of calm demeanor was perfect for this team at those points, because especially against St. Louis, where it was second round, right? And it was like, oh my gosh, here we go. The second round jinx again. And he was just steady Eddie. And I thought that was the perfect temperament for it. I thought what he did with Darcy Kemper was the perfect temperament, right? Like, hey, we're going to stick with you. You're my guy. Don't worry about it. We got your back. We're going to be fine. Versus going with Frankie would have been a panic move. And that would have been a Vic Fangio type coaching move of knee jerk. Oh my God, the sky is falling. We're going to get this far and we're going to blow it because Darcy Kemper isn't ready to go. And I'm going to go with the guy that's 6-0 because that looks great on paper in the postseason, and ignore the fact that, yeah, the last time he was out, he gave up 5 goals and they were fortunate to win. I think he does deserve credit for sticking with the plan. It just is a little bit of a quirky reason to proclaim as a great coach. Great usually coach. That's tacticians. It's the moves.
Oh, there was all that too.
Chess when they're playing checkers.
There was that too. There was an improvement between game one and game two defensively. In game one and game two, John Cooper and the Lightning traditionally had made adjustments and improved dramatically. You had the greatest game in Avalanche history, arguably, for the precision they played, a mistake-free game where they dominated an opponent in the most pressure of circumstances. So you had that moment. You did have a downer in 6-2. You did. Although it wasn't a game that they played that bad. That was interesting being around the team after the first loss. To a man, they all said, you know, we didn't really play that bad. And you know what? They were right about that.
JT Compher should have had 2 or 3 goals in that game, and it's a totally different deal.
Yeah,
Vasilevsky was just great.
Yeah, sometimes you got to tip your hat, right?
Yeah.
And it was interesting being around the team after Game 3 because there was no sense of desperation. Now, when they switched up the lines as much as they did last night, to me, it was like, whoa, are you sure? And you know what? It was a bit rocky, no doubt about it. Cadre's reassertion into the essentially second line, but playing kind of a modified position because he wasn't taking faceoffs. He wasn't on the first power play, you know, but he didn't go down to the fourth line either. Keeping Mikko Sturm, who was kind of in and out. Like, he had to make a decision. Could have played Abe Kubel instead of Sturm.
Well, nobody would have questioned that because Nico Sturm prior to last night.
What's he done?
You hadn't heard his name, right?
Well, he hadn't played all that much.
Most people are like, who in the world is 78?
When they rolled Mikko Sturm out for some sort of media thing, and I was like, why are you doing this? And then I saw there was some German, it is cool to be in there. I'm not going to lie, James, because it's not like at the Super Bowl there aren't people there from all over the world. There are, but they're like goofy. It's all just like, you know, like right. An entertainment show.
Right.
When you get reporters there from Sweden, from Finland, from the Czech Republic, from Germany, no, they're really serious about the guys that they're there to cover. And it's because hockey is such a wonderful sport. One of the best things about hockey, it is an international sport. It is viewed and consumed all over the world, as is basketball, as is baseball. It's really just football that's more of a niche American sport. But to feel that international passion is, it's cool. Bednar, to me, is on a compelling next level right now. And it's not over by a long shot. And the adjustments that Tampa's going to make. But I was wrong about something. I thought John Cooper was using that whole I'm going to talk to you and lay it out tomorrow sort of thing as an us against the world mantra to rally his team. When he backed off today and apologized, and he apologized for his comments, to me that was guy that he just simply made a mistake. Actually, in all honesty, I think he just should have stuck with it. I mean, he would have been the guy with the black hat, but he would have been taking the bullet for the team. And he would have been putting more of the pressure on him. He kind of let himself off the hook with what he did today.
He could have just said, hey, we got robbed, and just continued down that path.
That's right.
And he would have got booed tomorrow night at Ball Arena. Yep. And he would have been the villain, and everybody, we'd be talking about John Cooper much more today. You know who Jared Bednar reminds me of?
What's that?
He's Eric Spoelstra. Right? Nobody knew who Eric Spoelstra was when he got that job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he wins it, it's like, well, how do you not?
All right, let me ask you about Spoelstra, though. Hold on. Let me ask you about Spoelstra. Did Spoelstra win at every minor league level that he was on?
No, he was like a video guy. He came up the Pat Riley way, which is part of why Pat Riley, when you watch Winning Time and you see Pat Riley's path to becoming the head coach of the Lakers, then it makes a whole heck of a lot more sense why Eric Spoelstra got that gig. But, you know, he wasn't Scotty Bowman. Right? Jared Bednar wasn't a guy who was like, he's won in all these other places and we're bringing him here.
But he did win at every minor level until he came up to the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, Erie Monsters.
I'm going to blanch a little bit at the Spoelstra thing because had Spoelstra won championships at different levels.
But I meant it as a compliment that nobody gave Spoelstra credit because it's like you're supposed to win with LeBron and D-Wade and Bosch.
Mm-hmm.
But now you've seen, and he hasn't won a championship, but you see, you know, Eric Spoelstra's a pretty darn good coach. He knows what he's doing. They continue to win and continue to be good, and I think Jared Bednar right now is not, look, if they win the Stanley Cup, did they beat a team in either series where they had the talent disadvantage? No. They were supposed to win every single series.
Yeah, but they've had like 9 come from behind victories in the playoffs, and they've had multiple overtime wins. I mean, they've had games, James. Listen, I've done a lot of baseball coaching. Here's what I say about baseball. Sometimes, James, you just play a team that is much better than you, and you lose by a lot. Sometimes you're much better than team, you win by a lot. To me, coaching
is decided in one-run games. Because in one-run games, there is something you could have done better, whether you've won or lost, or you did well because you won, or you did poorly because you lost. I put one-run games on a manager because there's decisions they're making that make the difference. I think the same could be said for football games that are, say, under
one possession game.
Yes, absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. And you know, at the end of the day, that is your responsibility to make the right decisions when it matters the most. You just cannot escape the amount of come-from-behind wins that the Avalanche have had and how many tight games they've actually been victorious in.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's just one of those things where he's not going to get the credit he deserves, and I've been critical of him, but I think he deserves a ton of credit. If they're able to finish it off tomorrow or Game 6 or Game 7, he deserves a ton of credit because it's not as easy to win with a talent-laden team as some people think.
Our guy Troy Rank from Denver 7 will join us. Plus, yeah, man, the big story of the day, the Avalanche and what you're going to do for tomorrow night. Oh, my goodness, that is going to be amazing. Plus, Jake Shapiro from DenverFan.com previews the NBA draft tonight. All to come right here on The Fan.
Baby, I'm playing on you tonight. Hunt you down, eat you alive. Just like animals, animals, like animals, boys.
Reacting to Nas's OT winner that puts Colorado one win away from the cup. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
Nas, you just played your first period in 18 days. How'd it feel out there?
Well, pretty good. I mean, ice is kind of garbage, but other than that, I think, it felt nice to be back out there.
Tell me the ice was garbage. How did that affect your team?
You just got to simplify a little bit. You know, that's what happens when it's 105 degrees out in Florida in June. So we can play any kind of style, and, we certainly stuck with it tonight.
That is so – the ice was total garbage.
That is not going over well in Tampa.
Okay. Let me tell you what I saw, and then you can tell me how it's going.
Okay.
So I got a text from my lovely wife saying, hey, Nas just said the ice is garbage. And it's between the second and third period. I'm like, well, that's interesting, or whenever she sent it to me. So all I did is I put my phone. I was like, okay, what are they doing to repair the ice? And I'm like, oh, my God, there's a bunch of people out there with little buckets. They're little lightning bugs out there trying to repair the ice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is that? And I put it on Twitter. I have three different videos out there because it took them forever. It was like they were fixing divots like at a golf course. And I get you do some minor repairs perhaps around the goalie area at Ball Arena. But you don't have 10 little lightning bugs out there fixing divots with little buckets. I don't even know what they're trying to do out there.
Well, that's why they're mad. They're working hard trying to make it as good as they can. And you got Kadri going on national TV disparaging their work. And I'm not kidding. So I'm probably talking a little bit out of turn. We'll have Jake Shapiro in here later in the show, and he can expound upon this, but he knows one of the ice bugs or whatever
ice
you're
bugs?
Calling them.
Yeah, one of them is a big Broncos fan, reached out ripping on me.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it's the same ice bug.
Might be, because she's from here.
Okay.
And the text exchange, and I've seen it, and it was like a rant. It was like,
it's got to be the same person then. How many
paragraphs long about how offensive it was and what time she got there and how long her day was.
It's
got to
be the same. She said the same thing to me.
Yeah.
We'll dig into that. Troy Rank, our Denver 7 Broncos insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Holy cow, Denver 7. By the way, do you see the rental car you guys use, the muscle car that you guys use to get around when you guys are on the road?
Yeah, we usually don't. So
wow,
that's
man.
Fantastic. And that you were involved in it is even better. That you got a ride, right?
Well, I think that I was close to being strapped onto the roof because there was no room, but somehow I squirmed my way in the back, and they were very, very nice to accommodate me, and I appreciate the ride. Hung out with Brian and Ann Trujillo, and Denver 7 was on the scene there, Troy. I tell you what.
Yeah, it's been a big couple of weeks for us having the Stanley Cup Finals on our network, and having a pre and post game show And, you know, let's be honest, it's been a chance for some people to see the Avs regularly for the first time in a long time because it's on network TV. We're not dealing with, you know, any kind of issues of how to get it through streaming or otherwise. So it's been fantastic for our station, no doubt. And I know you were there, being able to follow along. D-Mac, you're in the middle of it with the controversy and everything. It was fantastic, my man.
I want to know from your perspective as a lifelong Coloradan, and a Pueblonian specifically, but a CU grad, as James is, who's seen it all here over the past 50 years, where you think tomorrow night will rank?
That's a good question. I mean, this team is better maybe than any Avs team statistically. I mean, you can just when you look at how they're built and the run they're going to end up making if they were to win Game 5, it would rank behind the three Broncos Super Bowls. It's not close to that. And nothing will ever top the Broncos' first Super Bowl. People will always know where they were for that. But I would say, would it tie with 21 years ago? Because the first one was so novel, in transparency, I wasn't here. I was gone for 3 years working in Arizona. I wasn't here when the Avs won their first one. I started covering the Avs that next year for 2 years. But I would put it, if I had to guess, it would be fourth or fifth, depending on how you your sentimental value toward Ray Bourque and that whole storyline. But for me, in terms of the Avs teams, it could be the best Avs team ever statistically. So you can make the case it would be the fourth best moment behind the three Broncos Super Bowl wins.
Yeah, I think it's probably fifth. I think that 2001 team is probably last. Because you think about it, they had won a cup already, but sandwiched in between those two cups was back-to-back Broncos Super Bowl. So, like, we were kind of spoiled and jaded, and we were like that Boston kid who has the sign at all the parades, like all the things he's been to.
Right.
So I think that one kind of, been there, done that. I think this will be ahead of that. But, Troy, tomorrow night it's going to be an expensive ticket to get in the building. I guess, you've been following these teams and been a fan of them your whole life. Like, what's your night tomorrow night? You have to work? You're going to be down there? You're going to be, traveling with us as we try and find the cup and Lodo? Like, what you got on the agenda?
Yeah, I'll be working. I'll be down doing the pod interviews and hopefully, winning pod of, and being near the ice when they're doing a hoisting the Stanley Cup. So I'll be part of the Denver 17 tomorrow.
Nice.
Working. I covered game two. I sat by DMAC for a little bit of game two. But, I'll be covering it. And I covered all three of the Broncos Super Bowls. The first one still will always be etched in memory. And I didn't grow up a Broncos fan, but to understand what that meant to this state, this community, this region, that for me will always be probably one. And then the Rockies wild card play-in game for me, the best sporting event I've ever covered, but it doesn't compare. It pales in comparison to anything the Broncos have done in terms of
a
Super Bowl.
All right, let me make a comparison that I think the three of us could at least identify with. What do you think downtown will be like tomorrow, the entirety of downtown Denver, compared to Rocktober?
Oof. I was in the press box for Rocktober, so I didn't have a great feel for it. What was crazy about Rocktober for me, DMAC, was just how much, like, my kids were in elementary school then, and they were stopping classes and watching the games, like, just how it captured the imagination of people who, frankly, weren't following the team at all. The Avs fans are so energetic, so caffeinated. They had 15,000 at the Tivoli for that last game, home game, and they had to close it up and, let people out for the game because they reached capacity. I think it'd be wild down there. I compared to the Rockies, I don't know. I don't have a good feel for that. Downtown has changed, let's be honest. There's been a lot of issues downtown the last few years. I just hope it's just a raucous celebration if they win and it's safe. Because these celebrations at times can get, even the 2001 one, I think 11 or 12 people were arrested. That was, 2 decades ago.
Well, let me make a prediction for you guys, because I've been kind of studying, the fan base and who it is. I think, in a very positive way, there's a younger 20-something generation that is owning this team like nothing else they've ever owned before. And when they hear about Rocktober, they hear about old victories, they're here. Maybe they own 2015 a little bit, okay, because they could have been around it, perhaps. But even that was 7 years ago, I think what you have here are people who have relatively recently come to Denver that are staking this team as their own. and their piece of property in terms of defining themselves as being a Denver resident. And I saw the people at the Tivoli in McGregor Square, and that's what it looked like to me. So I think there's a real sense of pride that this is our team, and we don't have to be beholden to the things of the past. And I think that is energetic and exciting.
Yeah, I would agree. It's definitely a younger demographic, no doubt. That doesn't mean they don't have old Avs fans, but just my limited experience now being back at the arena and knowing what it was like covering the Rockies, both baseball in general has an older demographic. I mean, it really starts almost at times at age 50 and up. So I would agree with that. And they're boisterous and they're knowledgeable and they're passionate in ways that it just you forget because it's been such a dry spell for the Broncos. You know, I live that. I go to the road games. I see those fans, and you just forget what it's like in a championship season. And then being in that environment at Ball Arena last week, you just like, this is what it feels like again. And they are younger. There's no doubt. It's a younger feel to it. And I think it's going to be wild downtown. I'm not sure when I'll get home that night. I remember after the Phillies won the World Series and I covered it against Tampa Bay, and I just prayed for a half hour my car wasn't going to be lit on fire, my rental in the parking lot. And I didn't leave that press box till like 2:33 a.m. out of fear of safety.
Well, tomorrow night will be awful exciting. We'll all be down there. Troy, we appreciate it. We'll watch on Denver 7. And thank you, Troy. James, to me, the Cronkies are going to do themselves the worst disservice of all time if they cannot figure out this TV deal by the time the season starts next year, because they have been given a free leash on life by the fans. The sins of the past have been washed away as long as we are able to consume somehow, some way, easily. Not because I hooked up an antenna to the secret dark web inner site right. type of no. Forget that. You have bought yourself Cronkies. I'm telling you. How about this for I kill you a truth moment? Whether you deserve it or not, you've bought yourself a break. You're forgiven. You have been forgiven, and you better not be arrogant, and you better figure these things out, because all those good graces will swing against you so hard if we all have to struggle to watch what we've all fallen in love with so dearly in the past 2 months.
Well, essentially, they're playing in a scramble. They bought a mulligan, and they can't put it right back in the drink, right? Like, they can't hit it into the water on this one, because as great as it is, and what you said and how you described kind of the fan base now is true, but D-Mac, that will go away quickly if come October, November, the Broncos are rolling along and you can't watch the Avs. It will be out of sight, out of mind, where last time around, they had 487 consecutive sellouts. That's a dozen years of every game being sold out.
Do you know how many people reached out to me to say thank you for supplementing the games this season, because there was no other way for them to consume it? When I first started covering it this year and making an attempt to just, you know, get to know more about the teams, it wasn't with the intention of being there for every single darn one of them. It organically grew because I was realizing, wow, I am like seriously helping people out right now.
Yeah.
Which was stunning to me. And now I'm, what I put forward is more of a supplement, because everybody can consume it in their own way. And the reaction I'm getting to things is wild. And I am a sidebar. But for a while there, I think I was a main cog for some of the people to stay in touch with the teams. And frankly, as flattering as that is, it's ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous. And, you know, I'm just going to use my own personal experience to kind of point it out here of, you know, I don't have DirecTV, so I don't have Altitude. My kids were super into the Nuggets, you know, 3 years ago, and now that we haven't been able to watch them as much, that has faded. But man, as a family and as a group, we have gotten into the apps, and they're playing hockey in the street during intermissions last night. They've all got their Avs sweaters. They know who all the guys are, right? But come October, if we can't turn it on and watch the games again, how quickly is that going to fade for them? And yeah, they're 16, 13, and 10. Maybe that's not the target audience that the Cronkies are worried about right now, but they should be,
because that's your ticket buying public pretty quickly here.
Right.
And you got to build that fan affinity. And, nowadays it's so easy to find other options, right? There's other things to spend your entertainment dollar on. There's other things to spend your time on, and you'll get into something else. They will be missing a grand opportunity if they don't have it fixed.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.